Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some strange but funny music?
Over there, in the media corner.
Just what I'm looking for.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama, the podcast that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi. Unfortunately, Craig was not able to join me for this special interview. Our schedules didn't align this time with that of our guest, but I'm sure you'll be hearing from him soon. If you're new to Technorama, welcome to the show. This is a bit different than our regular weekly show format. Every so often, we find it fun and interesting to do an interview. If you're a returning listener, you already know this from experience, although admittedly, it has been a while since we did an interview. This time, we're talking with Tom Smith. Who is Tom Smith, you ask? Tom is a musician who specializes in filk. Yes, filk. If you're the type of person who listens to Dr. Demento, Weird Al, makes fun of movies like MST3K, and listens to Technorama, okay, we'll give you a passing grade for 3 out of 4, then you're going to love this interview. Not only are we talking to Tom, but we've got a few of his songs in the cast. After more than 5 years, I think it's the first time we've ever put entire songs into Technorama. We ran into Tom quite by chance at DragonCon 2010 in Atlanta. Our friend Grant Bachoco from the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd at drfloyd.com and I were waiting for Craig to get back from the hotel room. Our original plan was to see a magic show, if memory serves. The room was packed and people were lined up out the door. There was no way the three of us, soon to be five, were going to get in there. Once we connected up with Craig and a couple others, Grant suggested we head over to the Hilton and see his friend Tom Smith performing in 20 minutes. We wound our way through the throng of people and down into the depths of the hotel's lowest conference rooms. Before the show, we met a jolly man whom Grant introduced as Tom Smith. We chatted for a while, then went in with him to the start of the show. The room was packed. I think legally it seated about 120, but it easily had 150 or more. It's a good thing the fire marshal didn't stop by that night. We found seats in the back, and Tom was up front playing his acoustic guitar without a mic. We were immediately drawn in by the first song, then the second. Then, by the playful banter with the audience. This guy certainly was an entertainer. I started jotting down what I thought were the song titles, and Kian McMahon from A View from the Quad podcast leaned over and said, "You're planning to get him on Technorama, aren't you?" One thing led to another, and here he is. Welcome to Technorama, Tom. It's great to have you.
Ah, thanks very kindly for having me.
Oh, man. Since we saw you at DragonCon, when we saw you at DragonCon, I had visions in my head. I'm like, we got to get this guy on Technorama. It's just way too good a material. Who is Tom Smith? Give us an intro.
Hi there. My name is Tom Smith. I do mostly comedy, mostly folk rock music, except for all the stuff that isn't. If you want to think of my stuff as maybe Weird Al with a larger book collection, or Jonathan Colton with more jokes, or George Carlin with more references to Cthulhu, that's probably a good start. Is that all right?
Yeah.
The genre specifically is known as filk, and actually I have to explain two things. Okay, number one, filk is a genre, and there's as many definitions as there are members of the filk genre, performers in it. What it basically boils down to is music of the science fiction and fantasy community. I can speak. You know, things we sing, things that inspire us, you know, whatever. It doesn't necessarily have to be all science fiction and fantasy. As for instance, we play a lot of Tom Lehrer just for grins. We'll drag out any darn thing. We've done the Hallelujah Chorus in the middle of filk just for fun. We had a rock and roll night a few years ago at a convention, which we all still remember with great fondness, because by the time it was done, we were doing the entire soundtrack of the Rocky Horror Show. Yeah, so anything that we feel like playing is fair game, but a lot of it is inspired by works of fantasy and science fiction. And the other aspect of it is the filk community. The people who do this at conventions are really tight. We really, really are. As a matter of fact, in about 3 weeks from the point we're recording this, we're looking at the Ohio Valley Filk Fest down in Columbus, Ohio. Mm-hmm. That's OVFF.org. That's our annual, basically, holiday party. You know, there are a lot of Filk conventions, you know, Filk-specific conventions around the world where all we do is music all weekend. And OVFF is literally like the family getting together for the holidays. There's as much, you know, hugging and catching up and talking and whatever as there is music. And there's a lot of music. So, yeah, that's a real good time.
That's awesome. Because, you know, prior to that, I never heard the genre, but I know the style of music real well. Mm-hmm. I mentioned to you before we started, I am a Dr. Demento fan from way back. So if you like that style of music, parodies and original funny works and things that are poking fun at other areas, it's just awesome. It's a lot of fun. So I thought it fit well with this show.
Yeah, most of us are Dr. Demento fans. It have been forever. A lot of us got into it because of Dr. Demento. So
it was the path I didn't take, but my brother and I are notorious for coming up with some strange and bizarre. You know, my kids will hear me singing every once in a while. I go, "What words are you singing?" I say, "Oh, this is something my brother and I made up when we were teenagers."
my sister is made crazy every time I sing the songs. You know, sing them wrong. It's like I'm trying to teach my kids how to sing the songs right, and you're teaching them wrong.
Yeah, your kids aren't going to know how to sing. They'll get to choir class and just be blathering out. No, you're out.
Yeah, she really hates me when I do "The Hills Are Alive." Ah!
But that's the fun of it. I mean, that's why we listen to it, because it's fun. Now, you came up with some original things as well. I mean, it's not all parodies and sound-alike things. When we first got in there, I think you were singing a song called 500 Hats. And it just full of Dr. Seuss references, some of which I don't even know where you got them, but a lot of recognizable references in there.
Yeah, that does happen to be a parody of 500 Miles by the Proclaimers.
And so it was very easily recognizable. Then you went into a song called Blue Screen of Death, and this is what tripped a nerve with my technical side, because I thought it was just amazing. And I should mention that not all of your songs, I don't know, has PETA ever given you a call?
No, although I've got a couple of friends who are animal rights advocates who every once in a while look at me askance.
So this is one of those songs that if you are an animal lover, you know, just take it with a grain of salt. It is all done in good jest. So set this up for us. Where did you come up with the idea for Blue Screen of Death?
Just one day, the computer crashed.
Just one day you did that?
And I said... Oh, okay. Well, fine. All right. I've got an XP machine. Yeah, it's been crashing regularly since 2001. I go through this with my Linux friends all the time. "Oh, Tom, your XP computer sucks. Why don't you do Linux?" And I go, "Because I did Amiga for 12 years. Blow off." I've had my time as a computer hobbyist, by damn. I've had Quake running in a postage stamp at 5 frames a second, but by damn, it was Quake. No, just one day, it's like Blue Screen of Death. Okay, you know, something clicked. And it's like, okay, well, what happens if the blue screen pops up? You know, the song.
All right. Song. You'll get the idea real soon.
Every time your computer crashes, a cuddly kitten dies. The impending horror flashes in its innocent kitten eyes. From its gentle purr to its down-soft fur, it begins to vaporize. With one heart wrenching with its last breath, it's a victim of the blue screen of death. Your net connection drops, a baby seal is clubbed. When the flow of data stops, its tiny head is drubbed. And you think your ping is the only thing that just got whacked and scrubbed. But somewhere sad brown eyes are asking why. Because of that blue screen they had to die. All those endless software patches and the service packs as well. have empowered cyber demons from the darkest pits of hell. Think of every download mirror that was broken when you came. Now for each one, 7 years of bad luck, that still works the same. When PowerPoint fails the mission, a fairy loses its wings. All those slides and cool transitions flens the flight gear off the things. And it's Tinkerbell you've sent to hell at your quarterly meetings. While Peter Pan forlornly calls her name, never knowing the blue screen her soul did claim. Is it more like the Grim Reaper or a black cat cross your path? Is life only an equation, and how do we do the math? Is it instinct or misguided play or deliberate attack? Is there any way to stop it without switching to a Mac? Every time your system goes down, a puppy dog is kicked. When the firewall needs a hose down, a bunny's getting bricked. But amidst the fear, the end is near, the computer has been tricked. We found a way to disable that blue screen, but who knows what will happen, now it's green.
Tom, I just love that stuff. Now, I'm surprised when we were at Dragon Con, how many people were singing along with you? A lot of people know this stuff so well.
I have fans. It's very nice. And a lot of them do show up. And yeah, they actually did have me in larger rooms for a couple of times that weekend. That was just the main Filk room, and it holds about 100 people, which is nice.
And I think you had about 150. I'm surprised the fire marshal didn't come in and boot us all out.
Don't even get me into the fire marshal of Dragon Con stories. Oh, my God.
No. So you've got a few stories, which means you've been doing this a while. How long have you, is that your main venue, is these conventions and things?
That is my main venue at this point. I've been trying to expand into other stuff. I've been doing this professionally, which is to say I'm unemployed and this has really been the only proper option, since about spring of 2004.
Okay.
My last job laid me off, and I live in southeastern Michigan, and the job market out here sucks. It sucks everywhere. Okay. Mm-hmm, literally, mm-hmm. And excuse me as I get up on my progressive blogger's soapbox for just a second, but when you think about it, right now, the United States has about one job for every five people looking for jobs.
Oh, dear.
I was in a very specific line of work using very specific software, and when everything bottomed out from under that, I really couldn't transition to anything else. And I tried. A lot of people tried just going to general help desk stuff. And when you got 150,000 people in five counties all going for the same nine jobs, somebody's gonna lose out. And after several months, I go, okay, the unemployment's run out, what are my options? I seem to be maybe making enough money with the music to pay the rent and most of the bills. Well, I don't need to be kicked in the head. And so I've been plugging away. It's marginal, but I am still plugging away at it and having way more fun and just feeling so much healthier about my entire life than I ever did in an office. I did 25 years in offices. It kills you. I gained a hideous amount of weight. I became unhealthy, and I spent all my time getting up in the morning, staring at the computer, going into work, staring at the computer, coming back home, staring at the computer, go to bed, rinse, repeat. And, you know.
Did you have some of these ideas and things from work? I mean, is that where they were born out of? I mean, is it kind of like a Scott Adams Dilbert scenario?
Every once in a while, I get something like that. Not too many of them at work, because honestly, most of the stuff that I wrote at work had to do with stuff having nothing to do with work. Just, you know, get me out of here.
My DBA is an idiot. And
oh, I hate my boss. I really hate my boss.
Yeah. Yeah, and take this job and shove it was already taken. So,
unfortunately, yes.
Hi, this is Dr. Pamela Gay, and you are listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Now, you are a, I'll use the term endearingly, you are a geek.
Oh, hell. Well, let's see, which action figures do I have in immediate reach? I have the Babylon 5 Kosh action figure, which really doesn't do very much at all, but, you know, it's marketed as an action figure.
You are also a fan of Firefly, right?
I am a fan of Firefly.
And I mentioned Firefly because one of your songs is called I'm on Firefly, which is just, it cracks me up that, you know, the way that these songs go together. And you do the character so well, you can, I mean, even though it's your voice, you can hear the voice of the character coming through, you know, Jane and Kaylee.
Well, thank you. I like to think that's the writing. I do a lot of character voices, but not so many of real people. It's not easy to do, especially when you're doing a montage song like that. It can fall flat, or it can be pretty good. And the recording I got was a great crowd. It was Gen Con a few years ago, and I had like 400 or 500 people. You know, we were doing a big comedy show, me and the Rob Nagy and Bards, Luke Ski, Rob Balder, and Shoebox of Worm Quartet. And that was the one where the Bards did like a 25-minute sound check and got a standing O for it. You've not lived until you've heard Freebird played on an auto harp. Anyway.
Let's roll on with I'm on Firefly, one of my favorites.
It took me a year after the show went off the air and came on a DVD for me to write my Firefly song, okay? Might as well do that one. La da 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 da. Yeah, you know the tune. La da 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 la da 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 la da da. Well, I'm the Captain Mal, my wit is dry. I may never be a success, but I'm gonna try. I live by one law, Murphy's, and you know why. Yay, hey, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly. Da-da-da-da-da, well, I'm the first mate, Zoe, I'll always survive. Like my career after Cleopatra 25-25. I'm the hottie who kick your ass, and you know why. Yay, hey, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly. Da-da-da-da-da, well, I'm Wash, Zoe's husband, I'm one lucky guy. I'm also the pilot, so shut up and let me fly. I'm the comic relief on the wind, and you know why. Yay, hey, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly. Da-da-da-da-da, well, I'm Jane, the hero of camp, I'm one studly guy. Don't get on my bad side or you're gonna die. Oh yeah, I don't have a good side, and you know why. Yeah, hey, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly. Da-da-da-da-da, well, I'm Kaylee the engineer, I know what to do. I'm the oversex grease monkey, snarky savant Mary Sue. I'm in lust with Simple Simon, and you know why. Yay, hey, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly. Da-da-da-da-da, well, I'm Simon the Doctor, and Jane gets on my nerves. If he doesn't shut up, I'll make sure he gets what he deserves. I'll lock him in a room with my sister, and you know why. Yay, hey, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly. Da-da-da-da-da, well, I'm River, I think. There's a 29.22% chance that this verse won't scan, but if we rewrite it in iambic, ooh, dancing. I'm in Ara the Companion, in love with Mal, who knows why. He always calls me a whore, I guess he's shy. And nothing will ever happen, cause so am I. Yay, hey, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly. Da-da-da-da-da, well, I'm Shepherd Book, the token religious guy. I got a great left hook and I think like a spy. All that Barney Miller paid off, and you know why. Yay, hey, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly, I'm on Firefly. Da-da-da-da-da, well, I'm Joss Whedon, the creator. Yeah, that's me. The only one to compare is J. Michael Straczynski. I thank you all for watching Serenity. yay, hey, buy my DVD, buy my DVD, buy my DVD. Da 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 da. Well, I'm Glennon Braga, and I'm the Star Trek guy. 40 years of franchise, and you can kiss it goodbye. Joss got it right in one. I hate that guy. Yay, hey, he did Firefly, he did Firefly, he did Firefly. Da 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 da. Well, now this song is done. Time to say goodbye. It's been a lot of fun, but I gotta fly. I've set aside 15 hours, and you know why. Yay, hey, to watch Firefly, to watch Firefly, to watch Firefly. Da 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 da. Firefly for a white guy.
Tom, you sound like you have a whole lot of fun doing those live.
I love performing live. That is literally the best and most fun part of the whole thing, is getting with an audience, because it's really funny. One of the honest truths of doing this whole thing is that money is tertiary. Okay, it always has been. I mean, back when I was in my old job, and I'm sitting there going, "If only I was doing something that I loved, I could make one half. I could just make enough to pay the bills and maybe get a DVD now and then, and I'd be happy." And it happened, and I was right. The coolest thing about all of it is coming up with new music. That's great. I love that. I love coming up with new songs. I love, you know, just getting ideas and following them through and working with them and learning more about, you know, my musical tools and becoming a better performer and a better musician and and whatever. And I love sharing the jokes with everybody. I love sharing the shtick. I love telling the stories. I love doing all the stuff with people, because if you don't have an audience, then there's really no point in doing it. And that's why conventions are the best for me, because I know the audience will get all the jokes. I still do pretty well at, shall we say, it used to be mundane, now we'll say muggle venues. But there's the problem of there's a few songs that I really can't do for them, because I don't know that they will have gotten all the references. You know, there's lots of stuff that I can do. I can do a lot of the techie songs. I can do more generic geek songs. I can draw people in, but there's a few specific things, like 5 years, which is my I contracted the entire 5 year series run of Babylon 5 into a parody of 1 week by Bare Naked Ladies, and it's got so many references to the show that I ended up putting an annotated version on my website so that my mom could figure it out.
Oh my goodness! Now you mentioned that you've got to shape each performance a little bit, tweak it here and there to understand an audience. How much material, how many songs and DVDs are we talking about?
I got 19 albums right now. 18 if you say one of them is a compilation of the first stuff from the first two tapes, but yeah, a lot.
That's awesome. So you got a lot of source material to pull from.
I have quite a lot of songs. Yeah. I don't anticipate running out anytime soon.
No shortage of ideas that are on the forefront?
No shortage. As a matter of fact, I did something. I can't remember. The idea was not original with me, and I can't remember who thought of it. Or at least, at least, I don't think it was original with me. I might have seen something and gone, "Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do this." My business card from my website, TomSmithOnline.com. That's TomSmithOnline.com. The back of the business card has a checklist of my albums. Along with several forthcoming albums, because people would come up to me all the time and go, "Tom, so what of your stuff don't I have?"
Here's the inventory list. You check it off.
Basically. Yeah, here, you figure it out, then come back. And I got like 8 or 9 albums on there that are forthcoming, so that I have stuff to do.
That's awesome. Now, did you ever produce something and it just didn't turn out the way you wanted it, and just, you know, I was after, you know, point A and I wound up at point B. Sometimes it turns out better than you like. Other times you're like, "Oh, well, you public will never hear that."
The very first song that I started writing way back in the day, I had just read Tea with the Black Dragon by R.A. McAvoy, and I was steeped in filk, serious filk, depressing filk, what they call os, as in os, os, and moros. And I started to basically reconstruct the Ballad of Thomas the Rhymer. 4 1/3 handwritten pages in, I looked at it, and I said, "You know, I don't know if you've ever seen the episode of Alvin and the Chipmunks. I can't specifically think of the shtick going on. But at some point, David Seville looks at the screen and goes, "What am I doing?" And those pages were accidentally shredded, burned, buried, and danced on so that the world was spared from it. And I try very hard to write stuff that doesn't suck. And that's actually the biggest thing is if there's something dumb or bad, you try to catch it. I usually run a song past a couple of very trusted friends. And one in particular, my lady friend, will tell me, "No, make it funnier. Make it more clear. Change that. Do something here. You know, I don't know what you got to do here, Tom, but do something different." Like, okay. And she's almost always right. And my other friend can catch audio things that I wouldn't have thought of. And so between the two of them, they keep me honest and make sure that the stuff is pretty good.
All over the world, people are rushing to chuckchat.com to listen to Radio Yesterday, the greatest collection of old-time radio in podcast form. Horror, comedy, mystery, science fiction, Radio Yesterday has it all. Join your host, Chuck Tomasi, to discover new shows or rediscover lost favorites. Use the latest RSS technology and never miss a single episode. Don't delay. Hurry to chuckchat.com and pick up your copy of Radio Yesterday.
Hey, this is Colin Ferguson from Sci-Fi's Eureka. I play Sheriff Jack Carter. And now, back to Chuck and Craig.
How long does it usually take you to produce a song from original concept where you're going, ooh, I could work on that?
Well, I was going to say, the one that I just did yesterday that I uploaded to you for the sake of this particular podcast, I got the idea on Wednesday and had it in the can and uploaded to the FUMP, the Funny Music Project, at about 11 o'clock last night.
Wow.
Okay, you may not know. My shtick, my tagline is the world's fastest filker. My shtick is that I do things quickly. I improv songs at conventions, usually while people are actually singing them and getting it ready while they're finishing up the song. So you know, that's how I got my rep.
You mean you're following up people and then parodying their stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Oh, no. Years ago, what really cemented it was years ago at Marcon, Moonwolf, Michael Longcore, had been challenged by a friend who said, "Mike, you're good, but you're not as twisted as Tom Smith." And so he did a song. And so he did a song called Rhinotelexomania, which is five verses about picking your nose, which I loved. It's a funny song. And it was pretty easy to pick up the chords. And he gets done. And I grab a pen and paper and go, "I'll be right back." And I go outside. And I come back in with a two-verse parody, and somebody's got a stopwatch, and they go, 14 minutes. And all I could think of was, if they knew how much of that 14 minutes I was out here flirting with Mary Ellen Wessels, I just don't know, man.
That's awesome. Testament to the talent, man.
I would say it's a gift, but sometimes I really wish I could return it.
No receipt.
When you're going on vacation with so many things to see, the Grand Canyon, Paris, Disney World, all as dull as they can be. Why see New York or Toledo? Go someplace you've never been. Pack your shotgun and your Speedo and let the brains begin. It's the zombie bed and breakfast. It's the best undead retreat. You can let your head and neck rest till it's time for us to eat. It's so close that you could drive it, and there's just so much to see. We just hope that you survive it at the Zombie NB. Your cabana boy is rotting, but he won't mess up your coat. All the cocktails are clotting, have a frosty dead man's float. Our hot tub's like a crock pot, full of yummy tourist stew. But we will not let the stock rot, 'cause the stock, my friend, is you. It's the zombie bed and breakfast, no other spa compares. Every evening it's a challenge, just to make it up the stairs. In the morning we suggest, please, don't look closely at what's served. like the scrambled eyes, the head cheese, or the manberry preserves. We've got tennis and badminton, but we're best at shuffleboard. Every night we've got a thriller dance and new music from the horde. Every week there's panda biathlon, everyone eats shoots or leaves. And we all watch George Romero films, they're your only real reprieves. Now the residents are evil, and the plants can't win the war. And if Soylent Green was people, we'd clean out the freaking store. So come on and see the zombies, it's the only thing to do. Cause you know sooner or later, we'll be coming to see you. It's the zombie bed and breakfast, a vacation so unique. If we eat the wrong part of your face, we'll return the other cheek. Every day is grim and dire, every night's a jamboree. So come on and light a fire at the Zombie and Bee. There's a good chance you'll retire to the Zombie and Bee. Come on, be a frequent dyer at the Zombie and Bee. And be sure to try our sister resort, Vegas Vampire Vortex, where everything sucks.
Brand new Zombie and Bee from Tom Smith. Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
I'm going to end up putting together a download album of all my zombie and pirate songs. Call it Zombie Pirates in Love, which is another song. And
I got to, as I was playing that, I could just kind of picture this hotel band off to the side.
Mm-hmm. you know, get Don Ho up there.
The music to the lyrics. How do you decide when you're coming up with a song about Zombie and Bee? Mm-hmm. Do you hear the tune first, or do you start coming up with the lyrics? How do you match those together? What is your process?
Thank you. That's actually a really good question, because it sometimes evolves during the process of the song. Mostly what happens is I get in mind a rhythm, and once I get a rhythm, that tends to lead to a particular style of song. One of my primary composition tools is a program called Band in a Box, which is an auto accompaniment program. You give it a musical style and some chords, and it comes up with a generated background for you. And then I tweak the hell out of that. But the idea is you got to figure out what it's going to sound like more or less at the beginning. And given the fact that you're usually doing this in concert with the lyrics, okay, a rhythm tends to suggest itself, and that suggests a musical style. What I thought of, because it was zombies, I thought, oh, let's see, reggae, calypso, and it ended up being kind of a bossa nova.
Mm-hmm,
okay, because that seemed to work very well, you know, you know, and especially given that I didn't have any particularly good calypso instruments, I got to get a good steel drum. good sound font for a steel drum would be nice, but the rhythm is what indicates a lot of it, because the rhythm and the lyrics of the song build together, and between the two of those, I tend to come up with the song style.
Excellent. Now, and you tweak the lyrics a little bit, because I'm sure you pick up a song and the meter isn't quite right, so you got to add a word or take a syllable out here.
Figure out where to sing everything. Bam, bam, bam. You know, that as a matter of fact, I had thought of the possibility. You'd mentioned, you know, the zombie B&B when I originally came up with it. You know, lady friend and I were talking, and we go Zombie and Bee, and we thought that was funny. And then when I started writing the thing, the verse seemed to be more couched for the Zombie B&B. And she said, but that's not as funny. That's losing the pun. And I go, you're right. And okay, how do I fix that? Do I change the whole lyrical structure, or do I do something tricky? You know, the Zombie and Bee, which fits in with that musical style very well, and it brought back the pun, and it gave a little instrumental break in the middle there to make it more exciting, and I thought, that's perfect. So,
now, how do you translate that bossa nova to a live performance where all you've got is your voice and a guitar?
I play a bossa nova.
That's got to have some challenges with it as well.
Not as many as you'd think. It did earlier on. I one of the things about the last several years of being, you know, like Hermie and Rudolph, independent, is that I've been working a lot on performances, because that's been basically how I've been making the best money. And when you do so much for so long, it becomes easier to follow along with things. Every once in a while, I still, you know, blow it. But for the most part, it's like, okay, let's try a bossa nova beat. You know, try a strum pattern. It's like, okay, that one. No, okay, not that. All right, there we go. And it actually comes up pretty quick. A lot of it is variations of the same several several styles. I'm not like I will never claim to be a brilliant guitarist by any means, but I can make the guitar do what I need to sell the song. And that's a lot of what it comes down to. I think I write some pretty good tunes, and I'm trying to write some more elaborate music for other things. But for the most part, my music is a vehicle to deliver the song. And that's the most important thing. And if I don't mess that up, then it will properly deliver the song. It'll get the mood. It'll make the lyrics more obvious. It'll you know, add some atmosphere to make the whole thing funnier or more dramatic or whatever it turns out to be. And, you know, that's good.
Rats, I was hoping there was a spot where you'd ask me to be your cowbell man.
Sadly, I've got a cowbell app on my iPod, but thanks very much.
Replaced by technology again! Now, one that will easily translate is one with no instruments, if I recall right. Hyperspace cryogenic insomnia blues is just vocals. There's no instruments.
I've got a couple of ambient noises playing in the background. That's pretty much it.
All right, let's play that one, because this is another good one where the crowd just jumps in at the right point, and if you can't figure it out, then go to one of his performances and listen.
Here I am in hypersleep, awaiting my awakening. I'm traveling near the speed of light to our new colony. Except I'm trying to figure out how come I'm still awake when they assured me I would be unconscious. Oh well, must be me. Maybe I should think about my SO in the next tube over, how we're gonna celebrate the day we finally land. Well, actually, that night. Or maybe later, because we'll be unpacking. I'll think about that later, when I can move my hand. Wish I had a bedtime story I could read to make me sleep. One of the Harry Potter books, or maybe Dr. Seuss. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them Sam I am. I do not like them with a goat or a majestic moose. Mind you, a moose once bit my sister. How horribly she was attacked. Moose bites can be pretty nasty. Those responsible have been sacked. Hey there, NASA, have you heard the news? I'm awake in my deep freeze, thinking about a stupid moose. I've got the hyperspace cryogenic insomnia blues. Manamana, dee 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 dee. Manamana, dee 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 dee. Manamana, dee 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 dee. It's a small world after all. That's why we left that mud ball. Hypersleeping in free fall to a new world after all. Manamana, dee 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 dee. Manamana, dee 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 dee. Wish I had some NyQuil here, or maybe just a keg of beer, or my SO in something sheer, or Salma Hayek, what a rear. Baby got back, baby got back, baby got back. I'm back to the future again. I hope I'll sleep, but I don't know when. Of course, if I wake up too soon, it's cause we hit some alien moon. I'm crashed in the spaceship again. Manamana, dee 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 dee. Manamana, dee 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 dee. Oh good, I see a status light to tell me where we are in flight. We're 2 weeks out of Terran orbit. 10 years left to go. Lesser men would go insane, but I'm the one who runs this brain. Don't have to work, I'm not in pain. I'll be just fine, I know. Please, God, I beg you, let me die. The solitude is more than I can handle for 10 minutes, let alone a whole decade. There's no one here to set me free, and worse than this captivity, my sweetie's sleeping next to me, and we cannot get laid. I need you more than anyone, darling, but right now I can't even weep. So suck it up, buttercup, go back to sleep. Manamana, dee 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 dee. Manamana, dee 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 dee.
Manamana.
Oh, another one full of good references, Tom.
We figured out years ago that there's a certain, every circle of friends has a certain bunch of in jokes.
Yep.
Okay. And that's kind of like how you're in the club. In our case, it's, you know, old episodes of The Muppet Show, the movies, let's see, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, The Princess Bride, Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein, and The Wizard, well, everybody's got The Wizard of Oz. And I think there was one other, it's escaping me at the moment, but you get the idea. It's like everybody's got that. And you know, fortunately, fandom being what it is, it's like, most of those jokes, I don't have to explain. Everybody knows the specific references, the specific sources of the specific variations of them. Like, for instance, doing the Jonathan Colton version of Baby Got Back. And, you know, when you go manamana, the entire crowd knows what to do.
Exactly. Yeah. It reminds me of that episode of Star Trek where titled Darmok. Don't ask me why I remember, but where they would just speak in historical references. Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra. It's like saying Lucy and Ethel at the candy factory. You know, you and I know what that means, and it's perfect. It works all through the song.
This is Tabitha Smith, and I am currently stalking the Pod Culture crew. Glenn, Brad, Christina, they're all over there. We have to be really, really quiet, though, so they don't know we're stalking them. I am doing the whole in the bushes thing, which is kind of creepy and weird, but once you listen to the episodes, you'll understand why I'm doing it. So, join with me in listening to Pod Culture. And you can check them out at podculture.net. Join the stalking revolution.
This is Ronald D. Moore from Battlestar Galactica, and you're listening to Technorama.
Your playlist of movies sounds a lot like mine, and that's probably true for the vast majority of your audience as well.
I have a decently large collection. I don't know how many people, you know, I don't know how many movies other people have. I know I got several hundred, both good and bad. I have an entire rack that's just the animation. You know, I have to go out. There's a couple of recent ones that I have to get out. Iron Man 2 just came out this week. The Pirates of Penzance finally came up, and I can't buy it retail anywhere in store. I have to go to Amazon and get it. Hmm. On the other hand, I have copies of, you know, on DVD, I have copies of Plan 9. I have copies of Robot Monster. I have The Wild, Wild World of Batwoman, unmistied. I have The Room.
Buckaroo Banzai?
Yeah, but that's a good movie. I got the special. I was saying, there's some of the ones in the gray area where people either, like, you know, love them or not. Buckaroo Banzai, I've got Rock and Rule. I have to pick up a copy of Doc Savage, The Man of Bronze online at the Warner Brothers archive shop, because that is one of the best bad movies ever. It's just so entertaining because you can't believe that they made this with even a camp sensibility. It's so far over the top, it makes Flash Gordon look like a serious introspective study.
Now, any movie, I got to ask you this, any movie, even if it's your first time viewing, do you still sit down and do the Mystery Science Theater comments?
Depends.
On?
It depends on several circumstances. Number one, I'm likely to, even if it's a good movie, okay? But I try to keep back on it, if nothing else, for the consideration of other people in the theater, okay? When me and my lady friend and another friend went to see Schindler's List, I was told right at the outset, "Thou shalt not misty the Holocaust." and of course, by the time it was out of there, we were so emotionally just wrung
right,
out.
Right,
that, you know, it was not likely. If a movie is really El Sucko, you know, I'll start doing snide comments out of the corner.
now, at your home, you're perfectly capable. You know, even if it's a first time viewing, at home, go nuts, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. No consideration for who's around you.
we have parties for the specific purpose as well. So that works out well.
It does drive my youngest daughter insane when I do that. Even if she'll be watching some horror movie and she'll kick me out of the room. It's like that's not. It's my TV. It's my DVR. It's my Netflix account. What are you talking about? Get out! You're ruining it. Fine.
Well, I was going to say, every once in a while, you can't help yourself. When we watched, we had a misty party of Star Trek Generations. Okay, the one with Kirk and Picard.
Yep.
In the first 10 minutes of the film, Kirk got blown out the side of the ship.
Hooray!
And they have a shot of Chekhov and Scotty and whatever, it might have been Uhura, I can't remember, but basically three crewmen all looking out the side of the ship, and Chekhov goes, "My God!" And then they cut to an exterior shot of deep space, and we all go, "It's full of stars!" No, you can't stop yourself.
Are you a card-carrying Misty member?
I have my badge from the very first Convention Con Expo Festorama in 1994. Yes.
Remember during the movies, they'd flash it on the screen? Write us at, in Hopkins, Minnesota.
Yeah, MST3K Info Club. Yep.
way before the web, way before email. I mean, email was out, but it wasn't publicly available.
I actually got into. My mom was a singer. My dad was a dancer. Okay. I had it in my brain for entertainment very early on, but my first Mistying moments were years before Misty.
Oh yeah.
Because I'd sit down, locally, we had on one of our local TV stations here in Detroit, we had the 4 o'clock movie. It later became the 4:30 movie when they realized they could edit out more of it to get in more commercials. But they used to have weeks. They'd have theme weeks. And one of the favorite ones they did was Monster Week. And they'd do Godzilla movies. And they did Godzilla, they did Ghidorah the Three-Headed Monster, which is basically Ghidorah versus Godzilla, Rodan, and Baby Mothra. And I'd be sitting there with my little sister. And there's a point about two-thirds of the way through the film where Mothra is trying to convince Rodan and Godzilla that they have to help against Ghidorah. And so they all sit down and they have a monster conversation. Now, this conversation in the movie is translated by the little Mothra twins, little hot babe Barbie dolls. But I would sit there and I'd be making up stuff for my sister and just have her in stitches. And it's like, Godzilla sits down. Oh, my buns are killing me. It was silly and stupid because we were tiny kids, but it was a lot of fun. And that was when I really learned to start talking back to the movies. And I didn't embrace it until Misty came out. And the first episode of Misty that I saw was King Dinosaur, where they start out with this New Jersey, state of New Jersey driving safety film. And the car appears, fades into the, let's watch this driver in action. You got a car fading into a parking space. And Tom Servo goes, "Oh, parallel universe parking." And I go, "I get it."
it is. We always did The Wizard of Oz. I mean, that movie is just plagued with opportunity.
Oh yeah, it's a wonderful film, but my God.
it begs for the comments. It really does.
This is Brett Packer, formerly Division Chief for the Delta Launch Operations Division at Kennedy Space Center, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Oh man, Tom, we could go on all day. I got one more song here. House at Cthulhu Corner. Set this up for me, because I have not heard it yet.
There is a fairly famous song written by Kenny Loggins of Loggins and Messina, called House on Pooh Corner. It's a kid's song. It's a lovely kid's song. It was actually first performed, it was first recorded by the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band back in the 60s. And, he recently revised it and added a verse to it and all sorts. And it's one of those, lovely kid's songs. Okay. The kind of thing that you sing to your kids and you sing to yourself and you tear up and go, "Oh, I love this dog and I love my Pooh Bear and oh." And I had to do something like this to it. Because I did.
We got a kid over there. I should sing a nice kid song.
Christopher Robin was slain on the altar where shadows of Innsmouth run deep. Pooh didn't hesitate, Pooh didn't falter, his master's in Rilia asleep.
and I'm only a kid. I don't know what he's doing, let alone why the great old ones want to stuff brewing. Help me if you can, I've got to stop from reviving Cthulhu by one. You'd be surprised, there's so much to be done. Circles that summon and bind, color them inside the lines. Stop the cloth golem we once knew as Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh doesn't know what he's doing. The elder gods got in his head. Task after task he performs without asking, why friend after friend turns up dead. And the ultimate goal isn't clearly defined, but it's taking a toll on his silly old mind. Help me if you can, I've gotta stop Pooh from reviving Cthulhu by one. You'd be surprised, there's so much to be done. Leave all the deep ones behind, make up a cute elder sign, prepare for the final conflict with Winnie the Pooh. Rabbit's gone missing and Piglet was drowned. It was thought accidental at first. In a room without corners, Owl was et by a hound. In his chest, Tigger's heart up and burst. Now there's only us three, but we will find a way. And I can guarantee you're gonna rue the day. Believe me if you can, I'm gonna stop from reviving Cthulhu by one. And what do you know, I think maybe we're done. Chris and my friends all alive, great old ones gone from the sky. Good morning, Mother. I guess I was dreaming. Everything's fine. Piglet, you can stop screaming. What's with that dazed look, Pooh?
You crossed the line there, Tom.
I cross the line all the time. It's fun.
I love the twist that a lot of your songs have too. It's, you know, it sounds real gory and then you get at the end. You have another one that does that too, that you sang at Dragon Con about, you know, adjust my meds or words.
Oh, I was going to say that's the fairy song.
Yes. Smash the frickin' fairies. If you haven't heard it, tell the listener where they can find all this great stuff, because they got to go listen.
Thank you. You can find all the stuff at my website, tomsmithonline.com. I also have a site at Bandcamp, tomsmith.bandcamp.com, which has better previewing than I've got over at the other site. But I get more money if you buy it from me directly. but there's lots of downloads. I got live shows all over the place. I got lots of stuff, a lot of lyrics there. Yeah, I like to think it's a pretty decent site, and I'm trying to make it better all the time. The best thing about all of it is because people come up and they go, I didn't know that's what that song was about. Oh, man. So that's fun.
I'm trying to indoctrinate my daughter into that kind of stuff, too, so she understands these references a little more. We go watch old 80s movies for a couple of weeks, and then she'll go, that's funny.
The song you're talking about, Smash the Frickin' Fairies, I have a long history of beating up cute. In song. Now, I happen to be a sentimental old softy. I have numerous stuffed animals, and I got my very own bear who is just wonderful. I love him dearly.
Is his name Mr. Gumbus?
No, Mr. Gumbus is actually just an alias that he performs under.
Oh, okay.
So, it's a state name.
The song you're after, if you want to know more about Mr. Gumbus, is Take Your Hands Off the Bear?
Take Your Hands Off the Bear. You know, the ultimate fanish breakup song. One of the first things that I got notoriety for in Filk was a medley called the Smurfin' Safari, where I basically take six Beach Boys songs and stick an M in the middle of surf and start beating on the Deadly Blue Menace. And I kill off most of the Pooh characters. I all that kind of stuff. And a couple years ago, I came up with the idea for Smash the Frickin' Fairies, which starts off, there's a fairy grove in my backyard. I found it just last night. Y'all, nice, pretty, tinkly mm-hmm, guitar. Mm-hmm. And the fairies come to have some fun in the silvery moonlight. They're lovelier than anything that you have ever seen. And when you smash them with a brick, their blood's all thick and green. And then it launches into this utter destruction. And I can't even remember if it was the Pressed Fairy book that directly influenced it, but something made me just beat up on the damn things. And the part that that's the most fun about that song, my best memory of that song, period. I love doing that to intro a concert because it's like, okay, you guys don't know who I am. This will get you in there. This will show you. But there is a performer, a wonderful performer, Alexander James Adams. He's on the West Coast, and he's an incredible Celtic performer, guitarist, fiddler, just amazing. Very, very nice guy. Also part of the group Tricky Pixie with S.J. Tucker and Betsy Tinney. And he does a lot of songs of the Fae and of Fairy in general. Lots of magical stuff. And I was out there for a convention called Conflict in Seattle earlier this year. And he'd done the 48th song about fairies that he'd done in the last hour and a half. And I said, all right. And I broke out Smash the Freaking Fairies, which he had not heard. And he just sat there shaking with laughter, changing colors. It was wonderful. and like the entire room was actually, I think, having more fun watching him nearly have a stroke than they were listening to me sing the song. So
make it longer. Make it longer.
he's like, ah! that's all we need to paralyze Alex. Okay, fine.
Love it. I'm going to be singing that all afternoon now. Tom, it has been a wonderful time. We could go on for hours and hours and hours, but I'm sure we'd fill up everybody's MP3 player with songs and good conversation. Again,
it'd be a bad thing because
we'll say go to the website, find out when Tom's going to be in your neighborhood. Because he's got a lot of dates on there. He's coming around sooner or later. You'll be within a stone's throw. TomSmithOnline.com, right?
Yes, and anywhere you look on one of the social networks, Filker Tom, FilkerTom. I'm on LiveJournal extensively. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I all over the darn place. So
great. Really appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Tom.
You're very welcome, Chuck.
That's all for this time. Once again, thanks to Tom Smith for being part of Technorama. We appreciate your support, too. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. You can phone, email, Twitter, Morse code, smoke signals, message in a bottle. Just visit the Contact Us page at the top of Technorama website found at checkchat.com. There's also the donation tip jar, just one time, or monthly micropayments and get you special content. Or how about a review on the iTunes Music Store? It's free, cheap, easy, quick, doesn't cost you anything. Special thanks to Madmar for providing all the great blog content during the week, Ustream, who keeps our modest live streams going on Sunday, and our chat room that's provided by thinstack.net. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. Find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with Farpoint Media at farpointmedia.com. Join us for our live show each Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. We have a terrific chat room, live cams, and that stuff comes out in a few days later in podcast form just like this. We'd love to see you there and be part of the show. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama and a binary high five. 101.